If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. You're here with Sal DiStefano,
Adam Schaefer,
and Justin Andrews.
And we are the three sexiest men in fitness.
Whoa. We are the three sexiest fitness amigos ever known.
That's a stretch.
What?
That's a stretch.
Why are you looking at me when you say that's a stretch?
It was a lot more sexy.
Do I bring the average,
down?
Yeah, because it's obvious Justin is the sexiest because he gets all the comments. He
gets always gets the comments.
I thought you were going to go the other way with that. Thank you.
Right. And because you talk so much about being sexy, people go out of their way to tell me I'm not.
Yeah. Because I always tell everybody how sexy you are.
Yeah, you always talk about Adam good looking,
I can't help myself.
So
Adam.
Then people find the need to let me know, like, you know, you're really not that good looking of a guy.
Do they say that?
Yeah, dude, I get DMs like that all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, wow. People say hurtful shit, bro.
Haters.
Really?
Haters.
Yeah. I haven't had a hurtful
Very rarely thing. Does somebody send a message to you that's just like a nice message. Like, hey, I just want to let you know, you're a very good looking guy, and I really appreciate all the great information that you put out there in social media, and
we love what you're doing.
Well, it's like, hey, man, I know you're really going to appreciate this. Here's my dick.
Right? Yeah, who gets that, Adam?
Adam.
No, I get the nice ones. Like, hey, love your content. Thank you very much. That's what I get. I get a lot of those. I guess whatever, Adam.
You sound awesome.
Dude, I'm wearing shorts like
awesome
you just.
At everything.
I'm wearing shorts Justin today.
Are you? Mm,
yeah.
Ooh.
So we're all exposed.
Yeah, but yours are like way down.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I feel like you like pulled them up a little bit. So we have
they
to
fall
look at
that
your
way.
Inner thigh.
They fall that way. Mm. Where Doug's sitting, he could see the whole show from over there.
The whole show.
He could see the undercarriage.
Is it much of a show, Doug, or not really?
Daddy knows best.
Daddy does know it.
Looks like a squirrel's nest.
Come here, son. Let me put those.
Looks like a squirrel's nest.
Son, let me put those away real quick.
Do squirrels have nests?
I don't. I guess. They live in a tree.
Imagine what a squirrel's nest would look like. There you go.
Okay.
Does a squirrel have a nest?
Noted.
I don't know, dude.
That's a good question.
Well, they bury their nuts in it. I know that much.
So Adam, you just ate two bags of nuts.
No, not yet. I'm working on this.
Does that fit your macros?
It does, dude. I'm on high fat right now, low carb.
You doing my thing?
No, I'm not doing.
Try it out?
No, I'm not doing. I'm not committed to a full.
it's your thing.
Exactly. It is your thing.
Sal discovered it.
Yes, Sal discovered it.
Made it up. You doing that diet I invented?
Yeah. No, no. But what I am limiting.
So you should have done the Eskimo diet, bro. You could have took full credit. Yep.
You should have done
only
that.
If we Eskimo kiss.
Yeah, I'm not going full ketogenic. I'm still getting a good solid 100 to 200 grams of carbs in a day. For me, that's extremely low, though.
Right. So but you bumped your fats up.
Yeah, excessively. So my fats are well over 100 grams. I'm pushing 150 to 180 grams of fat.
That's for kids.
Yeah. Right. For kids. So
I ate that.
It's for the birds.
Minutes. The only thing I have to say that I do notice. And I don't know if this is just because I'm also coming off of being sick. So I don't want, you know what, let's just scratch that. I don't even want to assess how I'm feeling yet because I haven't had a solid week of feeling healthy, good training, everything normal, and then assess the diet because right now I'm like feeling all this weird shit going on with my body. But I think a lot of that is because I'm pushing through these flu-like symptoms that I've had for the last week. I got a lot of shit going on with family right now. So I've got added stress. So it's been kind of a shit week. For me, as far as the way I feel, which I just did a post on Instagram about that, which I think this is kind of, you know, and this isn't a full topic for us to talk about, but I think it's important to point this out that, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy is when I surf through IG or any social media platform and we have all these big fitness icons, our peers, right? I guess you could say that, you know, all they do is they post like all their baddest fucking pictures, their sick videos and just, I mean...
Always motivating.
Yeah, and it's always beast mode.
The gym or die.
And some people love that because that's what they tune in for. They tune in because they know that when I click on so-and-so's page, you know, I'm for sure going to see him just sweating balls and pumped out, veined out, looking great all the time. But, you know, I don't know. I just have a different approach. I think I like to keep it real. I like today I was inspired to do a post because I felt like shit. I'm like, you know what? I feel like shit. It's been a very rough like 10 days for me. I typically like to throw a physique post update to let everybody know kind of where I'm at, what I'm doing with my diet, what I look like currently, and keep it real, you know. And right now for me, I did not progress this last, like, you know, I had some great momentum going into the MAPS performance. I've been loving what I'm seeing. And, you know, I hit this last 10 days of getting, I got sick, Katrina got sick. We're dealing with a family tragedy right now. And so I got all this going on right now, and I'm just a mess. And honestly, you know, for me to not take a huge step back during that time, that's a win, you know, and learning to look at times like that as wins. When most people would let themselves get beat up or allow like the tragedy going on, there's comfort food around. Of course, right now during something like a family event like this, you know, everyone's bringing the fucking pizza in, the chocolate, the can. I mean, it's all.
You got to keep in mind when it comes to exercise can either be used for performance, it can be used for rehabilitation, or it can be used for stress relief
and therapy.
Yeah. And, you know, I had someone very close to me pass away a few years ago, and that's exactly what I used exercise for. I didn't perform better. I didn't progress, but it kept me from losing my mind.
Right. And that's how I feel right now.
Expending energy and just, yeah, being.
It's your meditation, man. You get away, you get your meditation, do your workout, and you're back.
All my workouts, I've felt completely weak. I'm down in weight and strength and everything. I'm not PR in anything. Some of the workouts are a struggle to get all the way through, but I do feel great when I finish, and I'm glad that I made it there. And I've made a lot of good decisions eating wise, even though I've been surrounded by all this stuff. And you know, it's really easy to, and I have moments, so I'm expressing this, but at the same time too, I've had moments of like getting down on myself, like, fuck, man, I was really wanting to be progressing right now. I had great momentum, but I remind myself that, hey, you know what? Like, that's not what we talk about this all day long, that, you know, this is a journey and it's not linear. You know, there's going to be a lot of setbacks. And, you know, for me to not allow a week like that, because I easily in the past could allow a week like this to just throw the food in. I mean, when you're not feeling good, crappy food, I'm not hitting my targets that I need to get for what my body needs, not moving a lot. I mean, I easily could have took a huge step back. So to just kind of weather the storm is a
way. Well, it's good to be real. I mean, like us being fitness, professionals, we always try to like sort of present our way as such, like constantly. And it's exhaustive, you know, we're human beings and we go through the same things and occurrences that happen that we have to face. And I feel like, you know, that is a bit of a pressure to always keep up this persona of like, well, I'm always going to be eating good and I'm always going to be exercising, working out constantly. And, you know, and the same thing along those lines you're talking about, like, I didn't really work out much this weekend. I'm taking care of my family sick. They got the stomach flu, you know, I'm just like, my priority is to help them out, you know, get them to feel better. And then just try and move as much as I can and just, you know, keep that in perspective. But it's just like, I don't know. It's so unreal to me to always be like beast mode, you know, beast mode all the time, because you're detracting away from like things that really matter in your life. You know, whereas, you know, you can always come back to that.
Well, I think we're going to see a backlash soon, to be honest with you, because when you look at magazines, people are now starting to learn about how airbrushed everything is, how fake everything is, how much plastic surgery that goes in there, how much Photoshop that goes into each photo, and the stuff on Instagram, like you're saying, Adam. I think there's going to be a backlash. I think it's starting to come, because I think people are seeking out real role models that show weakness, that show vulnerability, that we can relate to. And it's already happened in Hollywood. You know, you look at movies, leading men used to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I love, of course, but they don't look like that anymore. People are starting to look for more of that realistic ideal, and you're going to start seeing it now in fitness. And we present, I mean, the show, that's what we do. We talk about the real deal. We don't try and put a fake persona forward. And I think personally, I know you guys agree with me, that motivates people much better. It makes people relate. They say, okay, this is possible. These people are you know, they're average people just like I am. And I hope that's the direction everything goes.
Well,
I see it going that way.
I definitely agree when we're talking about, especially our audience. I think that's what we probably appeal to, those type of people. But there's still, I mean, it's still an epidemic, bro. It's still pretty.
It's a big ship. A big ship, and a big ship takes a long time to turn.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time, but it's starting to happen. You're starting to see it. Look, it's a matter of time before cover models are pure CGI. That's going to fucking happen. And when that happens, there's going to be a backlash, mark my words. When models stop being real people and you're just posting up someone fake that the computer made and you can't tell the difference, you better believe there's going to be a bunch of people who are going to say, fuck that. Right. And you're going to see the flip come. It's already starting to happen. You're starting, Sports Illustrated, I think, it just did a swimsuit edition and posted some women that were like much bigger and heavier than the average, you know, swimsuit models.
Mm-hmm.
Dove soap, the soap company or whatever, did this whole campaign about real women. It's gonna start.
Barbie changed her whole physique.
It's starting.
Oh, they did with Barbie, huh? Because that was a big. That was a big one for a long time. They showed the Barbie of like 1970 and in the or 1960, 1970 Barbie to Barbie now and like and Ken and
gave
like
her how like realistic.
Yeah, she used to look realistic, and now they you know in the last you know 10 years,
you're starting to get a backlash, and I think it's gonna. I think it'll happen. I don't. It's not happening yet, but it's starting to happen, and so. Fitness professionals, if you're listening right now and you want to be effective in this industry, you should grab on to this trend now, and that is to be real and to show people what the struggle really is like. Like Adam just said, you know, he posted a picture that wasn't as flattering as you know some of his older pictures. He talked about how this week has been very difficult for him, but you connect with your audience and you make sense. People watch it and go, "This is a real person. I think I want to listen to this person, hear what they have to say," instead of the fake, you know, blown up. You know, bullshit that we see all over the internet and all over magazines. I don't know about you guys, but it's to me, it's like, especially now that I'm in my 30s, I look at it and like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean shit to me anymore, you know?
Well, yeah. And now it's so much more accessible. Like, I love like Netflix and I love like these documentaries that like nobody else would pick up, like CBS, NBC, all these things. Like, they're so carbon copied, like, just. Like fake, like I don't know, just watching like real TV and sitcoms and stuff is like irritating to me because it's just like
I never watch
it's so
like that
phony
anymore.
Baloney, you know. No. And it's like some guy's holding up this applause sign like you know, and they have this like formula for how they open the show and end the show, and it's just I don't know, just getting into the podcast has really opened my eyes to that whole world as far as entertainment is concerned, even, and how much I appreciate when I do see like a real star being a real person.
Well, did you share? Did either one of us share? I know you and I both. I don't know if you did, Sal.
What did I not share?
No.
I share everything.
Justin and I both watched a similar TED Talk, and they showed like how Netflix that runs the analytics, how they make a show.
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't see it.
Super, it was fascinating.
Very fascinating. And that this is the future of like television and everything like that. Instead of you know casting calls and doing shit like they used to do to put together a cast and build up a script and everything. Now, because we've got so much digital information, now that you can in the analytics, we can look back and see like, okay, you know, and break down how to build a show.
This genre gets X amount of views. This actor, like in combination with this genre, has gotten the highest scores.
It's only a matter of time.
Know, blah, blah, blah. You know, now we got a pilot that falls into this genre. Let's get this actor, get him in there.
Yeah.
And that's how they created like House of Cards.
Yep.
And then boom, you know, it's like their number one show.
Wow.
So it was just fascinating because it's actually applying like these analytics in a real way that definitely works. Doesn't work all the time, but
well, that's the thing. Like, how do you predict like chemistry and magic? Like, how many shows were not supposed to succeed?
Well, what they
and
show,
did great, like
what,
Seinfeld. Seinfeld was fucking one of the best shows of all time.
Yeah, and
it was about nothing.
They talk about that. They talk about a show like that, and there's like this this bell curve. And they talk about like, you know, it's very easy now, or it's been very easy for them to kind of predict and figure out like this is gonna
get like a 70%, you know, easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's falling in that 90 percentile.
You take a big risk.
Yeah, and that's the magic. That's what you're talking about right there. It's like, but if they can literally guarantee like, okay, if we run all these analytics, it's gonna fall at least in this 70 to 80 percentile.
Play it safe.
Yeah. Now magic could happen. You know what I'm saying? And it end up being the perfect cast with the perfect people in it, and then just exactly and timing. We've talked about this before. Another great TED Talk about one of the most important parts of business being successful is just the time it gets released. You know, the right time right now for a show like that to drop, you know, was around that time, and it hits. You know, there's the magic.
Well, look at the OJ trial, right? You look at like Making a Murderer, like how insanely successful that was, and then all of a sudden, like this OJ trial drops. Think about the mind behind that. Like, we should drop this now.
Oh yeah,
it's a trial that happened that you know the older generation remembers vividly. Younger generations never even you know associated. They have no idea like what went down.
Yeah,
and so it's just perfect time with that. So of course that's gonna be success.
Well, I mean, so planning, a lot of planning goes into place, which is funny considering Mind Pump has zero. No, it's funny. I was over your house.
We're nothing but magic.
I was over the I was over your house the other day. And
the magic man. We're like. Chris Angel.
Well, Adam's girlfriend, Katrina, was there, and she had come and listened to the show live for the first time, like, not that long ago. And she's like, yeah, I was really surprised. Like, Adam always tells me that you guys just turn the mics on. She's like, but I didn't really think that that's exactly what you guys did. And yeah. She sat there.
Yeah, where's the laptops?
Like, she's like, yeah, I watched you guys do that. She's prompters. Like, I had no idea. You guys literally don't. Like, you just turn the mics on and go.
Well, you remember, I don't think this was live on air. I think Lord Jason Scott said this off air when he talked about, you know, a bunch of fans that he knows over there in Europe that had asked him, like, dude, you got to find out when you go on their show, like, do they have laptops and notes out and they have this stuff like that? And he was like, that was the most fascinating thing that he had said that mentioned to us was that, you know, you guys really do just off the cuff.
Our coffee table has keys, paper, marijuana, and water. There's really nothing else on there. This brings me to a good subject.
I wanted to bring stripper glitter.
It's still there from the weekend.
Fucking Doug. Yeah.
I wanted to bring this up because, you know,
he's got to get paid.
You're talking about all the fitness professionals on Instagram and all these people who present themselves as, you know, people you should listen to. And the reality is you probably shouldn't listen to most of them. Let's talk about workout routines because every single one of them will promote some kind of workout routine, but they all, you see a lot of them fall under a particular category, especially when it comes to muscle building, and that's the body part split.
Yeah.
And I'd say of all questions that I get asked when it comes to fitness and nutrition,
what's the best body part split? What is it?
Yes. What's the best split? What's the best routine for me to build muscle? So I wanted to talk about that with you guys a little bit. Obviously we've been training people for a very, very long time. So our experience is not just based on our own bodies. It's based on building muscle with thousands of people.
Right.
So I think we have a pretty good, idea of what, would fall under that category of, and of course it's never going to be the best for everybody, but what would be the best body part split, you know, for people? Speaking for myself, I'll start. I always follow the splits that I read in the magazine. Bodybuilding magazines, you know, where you do chest one day, back one day, shoulders one day, you do anywhere between 10
push pull, bro.
Yeah, push pull, or do, you know, 10 to 15 sets per body part. You start with compound movements, you go into finishers at the end, you get a good pump, each body part once a week. And I did that for a long time. And then, probably about, God, let's see, maybe 7 years ago, I thought to myself, and this was sacrilegious, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to work every body part twice a week. And I'm going to do the same amount of volume that I normally would do instead of, you know, if I do my biceps once a week and do 16 sets, I'll do 8 sets twice a week. Mm-hmm. So I hit everything twice a week. And my body responded excellent. And I did that for a long time. And then fast forward, I'm reading some books on some of the old time muscle builders, you know, guys who lifted weights and presented their physiques or did strength feats in the early 1900s. And the reason why they interested me so much, it's because this was before steroids, this was before protein, this was before creatine. And this was before building muscle was real popular. So these guys' advice would probably apply to most people, much more than the advice that we'd get from people nowadays, the bodybuilders nowadays at least. And all those guys worked out full body 3 days a week, and they were very basic kind of routines. And I finally made the leap and I did it. And again, I trained similar volume per week, but I just hit everything 3 times a week. And I never progressed like that in my entire life. And I never looked back. Mm-hmm. And the shitty part is I should have known better, because every client I ever trained, I always trained him in a similar fashion, full body 2 or 3 days a week, because every client always responded better. I never had a client respond well to a body part split.
Yeah.
And I should have fucking known better. I don't know why I thought I was any different.
Well, not only that, like the timing of the schedule never would go with like that split
pattern, yeah. I wouldn't, right? Have a, like, client train me, you know, hire me 6 days a week or whatever,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So that was one thing that always never worked with me training with clients. And I did get into that mentality as well, with like, oh, okay, I gotta split up these muscle groups because I gotta let these ones rest while I'm hammering the shit out of these ones and get proper recovery and then go on to the next muscle groups and so on and so forth. And this just became that same old battle for me of everything was more intensity focused, and then therefore the intensity of the recovery and rest I really I tried to match with that, and it just didn't do what the full body routine did for me. Once I was able to evolve in my training my own way, and then also applying that with clients too, it was just like, I mean, it took on new forms. Like, everybody's getting stronger, the hypertrophy gains, everything else, like, it it was just like vastly superior. And so, in the recovery time, you know, the recovery time was a lot shorter. It's just like you get into that mentality, oh, leg day, everybody just starts to dread this because you just hammer the fuck out of yourself. And it's like, you know, it was just getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's still that way.
No, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And it took me, it's funny because I feel like I've always kind of known the science, but yet we're still stubborn.
Well, you're brainwashed, man. Well, it's brainwashed.
And I think that's why this, what a great transition you made into this topic after how we started this with social media and how, you know, all these IG people posting all, because body part splits are still flooded everywhere. That's most of what everybody does. Just like, and I fall right in the category, Justin. But here's the funny part. So I remember early 20s preaching the FIT principle. You know, and the FIT principle is frequency, intensity, time, type, in that order, as far as in importance of seeing change and gains in your body. But yet, I would just kind of preach it, talk about it, but then I would
not go, do it.
But not do it. You know, I still was running this body part split where, and my mentality, what I used to correlate, which I think I see the most still, is soreness. Mm-hmm. The sore mm-hmm. I get, that's the more gains I was getting. Right. The more I could break.
That was the gauge, and that's still the gauge.
It is. For a lot of people. It was that I needed to, and if I wasn't getting sore enough, I wasn't breaking down enough to recover enough to build enough, and that was always, you know, I was in search, and you know, for new, and I would do the push pull. I would partner up different muscle groups. I would you know add different things like that, like and change. I would change time, tempo, all stuff, but I was always in search of that soreness. Mm-hmm. That was the gauge for me. That's what I was always chasing was, could I get sore? And if I didn't get sore.
Yeah, that meant effective.
Yeah, exactly. Soreness was how effective I was doing it, which once again, ironically, I used to preach this also, that I used to tell clients that technically that was a sign of overtraining, that soreness is not a sign of effectiveness. Yet then I would turn around and go to my workouts. And I was like, well, that's because they're not ready for where I'm at. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then I would train myself.
I'm advanced.
Yeah, I trained myself a total different way because I'd already progressed my body further along than most of my clientele has. And it wasn't until I kind of let that all go. And I really tried. And for me, you know, there was different times in my career where different things I applied and went, oh, shit, wow, look at that. Oh, shit, wow, look at that. Did I finally break down and go like, okay, I'm really going to like follow, you know, the science. I'm really going to follow what is true. And if frequency is the main focus, and I needed to let go that, okay, I don't want to be sore. Who cares? I'm not going to think about being sore. I'm going to totally program design around thinking about, okay, volume, how much I'm currently doing. And then I'm going to slowly progressively overload and add more frequency of whatever muscle group that I'm trying to, you know, gain, see the most gains interchange. And like, boom, like it was crazy. And now I was the guy who I trained legs once every like 10 days. Because just like Justin would say, I would hit legs and it was like a nightmare. I mean, being a 6'3" guy, doing heavy squats and locking lunges and leg press and all this crazy movements for an hour and a half. I'd have to do legs 60 to 90 minutes. I'd want to vomit afterwards every time. And I'd be sore as fuck for 10 days.
And no gains. And very little gains.
And then I'd hit them again. Yeah. I had okay size of my legs. But it wasn't until I let off that throttle and said, okay, I'm not searching for soreness. I'm searching for effectiveness. I'm going to start program designing better. Yeah. I'm not going to go to failure anymore. I'm going to start training this way. And I started splitting it up, and now I train my legs 3 times a week, mm-hmm. and I've seen gains on my gains on my legs and back in the last 2 years, which I've really applied those to in the last 2 years, and it's been like huge difference.
Well, it's amazing to me because all the body systems of adaptation work this way. Okay, learning. Let's just use learning for example. Your brain learns things because it's adapting. Okay, like your muscles get stronger. It's another form of adaptation. Are you going to learn a subject by cramming the fuck out of your brain hard one day a week or by learning some every single day? It's the same thing. Same thing with getting a tan. Same thing with getting calluses on your skin. Any type of adaptation to the body does better with smaller doses of frequent stimulation mm-hmm. than they do to massive doses of stimulation. And then you let it go and let it rest and recover for an entire week or month or
whatever.
Well,
it's like
it's all of them.
It's number one. I see this on our private forum. It's so crazy. The number one thing when a brand new person comes
in. Oh, always.
And I love this. I love this. They come in the forum, right? It's their first weekend. And they do their first like foundational workout and they go, I feel like this is an advanced people. Obviously, if you're a brand new person, it's normally a perfect start, they feel like, you know, because they haven't done anything, so they're going to feel it for sure. But somebody who's been training a certain way for a long time and an advanced lifter, they go to our program, they switch over to MAPS Anabolic, they come into our forum, and then they drop this, like, you know, I'm not too sure, I feel like I should have done more, this and that. And then
I'm not that sore.
I love now because we've been doing this for over a year. We have this huge community now that like jumps on them right. Oh, just wait. They all say, just wait. I thought the same thing too when I first started.
Give it some time.
Yeah, give it a couple weeks and then watch. And then sure shit, you know, a couple weeks you hear the same people go back and like, holy shit, I'm PRing this. Yeah. I'm PRing that. Oh my God, I'm seeing so much. It's just like, see?
It is. And
it's not immediate.
We need to make the distinction that recovery does not mean you're building muscle. Recovery does not mean you're adapting.
Different adaptations.
It's different. Your muscles can get sore and recover over and over again without any additional adaptation.
Right.
And so if you're getting sore and then your muscles aren't sore anymore and you're working out, that doesn't mean that they got stronger and they adapted. It just means that they healed.
Yeah.
Same thing when you train a muscle that's still sore. It goes the other way too. Like if you did get sore and you have a little bit of soreness, you can still work out that muscle. You just need to adjust the intensity. Doesn't mean it hasn't adapted. A muscle can adapt while it's recovering. And so that soreness is such a poor indicator of effectiveness. Like, I rarely ever get
like
sore.
It's like getting punched really hard, getting a bruise, and being like, ow, that was painful, and then it goes away.
Yeah, healed.
That's it.
Well, yeah, I've heard Sal give this analogy before. If you're just searching for that, then just keep punching the shit out of your that muscle, and it'll
get sore as hell,
and it'll recover. Yeah. And then before long, actually, you'll be able to take punches. Right? It's like fighters.
That's it. Yeah, you get real good at it.
Yeah. Before long, they'll be able to take these punches. You don't see the muscles in their face keep growing, right? Yeah.
Just CrossFit.
Yeah. So I mean, and so when it comes to building muscle, when you look at the way the body adapts, when you look at all these different things, it only makes sense that training the body more frequently will yield you better results than training it less frequently. Now, the factor here that we need to consider is the body does have a limited ability to take punishment. So when you are training more frequently, then you can't train as long and you can't train with super ridiculous intensity because you're training more frequently. So we don't recommend, and this blows people the fuck away by itself, is like Adam was saying, don't go to failure. Like, don't lift until you can't lift the weight anymore.
Yeah.
Stop like 2 or 3 reps short of it. Yeah. And that usually trips people out because I think that one alone, they don't believe the most.
Well, you know what I mean? All these things that we mentioned, it's so hard like initially to sell these concepts because the type of person that gets into training and going to the gyms and everything are very much ego focused. And so like if you're trying to tell somebody, hey, don't use as much weight as you could probably do with a max effort, you know, scale it back a little bit, you know, like ease your way in, you know, like chill out. Oh, no, I got to I could do this, you know, and like I'm strong and I'm awesome. And like everybody has this crazy, like superhuman perception of themselves. And they just don't want to let that go in order to advance, you know, it really get to another level that their body's capable of. They want to always think they're this fucking superhero person going into the gym.
Yeah. And look, this is what I told myself when I finally made the switch. And it's a scary switch. And you know why it's scary? Because you don't want to lose gains, right? You don't want to not progress. But I wasn't progressing anyway. So, I mean, looking back, it was totally illogical. And this is what I said to myself. What's the worst thing that can happen? I'm going to try this working out this way for 4 weeks. What's the worst that could happen? I don't progress. Big deal. I go back to what I was doing before. It wasn't working that great anyway. No big deal. And that's what I implore you who are listening right now. If you're doing a body part split, trust me. Work the whole body 3 days a week. Do one exercise per body part. Don't go to failure. Do between 4 to 5 sets per exercise. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, try it out for 4 weeks. I guarantee you about 85% of you will never go back to a body part split again.
Yeah.
The science, by the way, supports it. The science shows that muscles build about 48 to 72 hours, up to 48 and 72 hours after a workout. And then it starts to decline. So if I'm waiting a full 7 days, then I've missed the opportunity to hit that signal again to keep that muscle growing.
Atrophy is already happening.
People don't
realize that. Atrophy kicks in pretty damn quick.
Right, so you've got that muscle signal that builds, and then that muscle building signal starts to decline, and then you have like 2 or 3 days where you have no muscle building signal. You're not working that muscle out very hard, so now your muscles want to adapt in the opposite direction. And so you go this up and down type of thing. Whereas with a full body routine, you're hitting that signal 3 days a week. And so you're kind of keeping it at that peak.
Yeah.
And that's how it breaks down. And by the way, here's another thing that'll make more sense to you. If you're doing, let's say you do chest once a week and you do it, 16 sets or, you know, 12 sets or 21 sets per workout. Take those total sets and split it up between your three workouts. You're doing the same amount of volume.
Yeah.
You're still doing your 21 sets, but instead of doing 21 sets in one workout, you're doing 7 sets 3 days a week.
Well,
now, don't you think that would work better? You're doing the same amount of work, right?
Well, it's a no-brainer.
Doesn't that make sense?
You'll actually technically do more volume. If you think about it mathematically, if you're doing it the same amount of sets and reps, you'll do more volume because you'll see when you do.
Oh, you're stronger.
Yeah, you'll be stronger because we all know that you're going to lose all that ATP and ADP during your workout for the first one. And you're by the time you're on set 12, your strength level is not the same as your first two exercises, right?
Fatigue quickly.
Yeah. Right, but if you're on let's pretend it's Monday. It's Monday. I'm doing chest. I do 20 sets, like Sal said. I'm on set 16 on my third exercise or whatever. And of course, I'm not maxing out anymore because I'm completely fatigued already, energy wise, and the muscles fatigued. But I still power through that workout. Well, now instead of that being those last four sets that I would normally do on that one day, like this, now it's Friday. I did chest again on Wednesday. I did sets 8 through 12. Then now I'm on 12 through 16 on Friday, and now you're fresh and you're hitting that.
Right.
You're going to be way stronger. You're way more. You're going to be able to get after it than you would be
and,
in those.
Right. And by the way, you know what you end up eliminating when you work out your body full body 3 days a week? You end up eliminating a lot of the, I hate to say it, bullshit finishing exercises.
Yeah.
You know why finishing exercises exist? Because you just did 18 sets for your legs and you're fucking exhausted. So now you're going to go squeeze out one-legged leg extensions to get a little bit more of a pump.
I have a new name. I mean, for now on, when I see people post finishing exercises, I'm going to put less effective exercise.
That's it.
This is less effective. That's what this is.
Right.
So, that's all it is, because you're totally fucking shot. You can't even give it 80, 90%. You're giving really, if you really think about it, if you were completely fresh, that finishing exercise, you're probably doing 30% intensity of what you normally can.
That's like the fight I usually have with my son. Like, he doesn't eat enough for dinner and then he wants a snack later, right? Like, you don't get a snack later. You didn't eat enough dinner. Yeah. Is what you're telling me.
Yeah. But dinner needs to be more effective finishers.
But if you looked at those splits, I guarantee you the 98% of the benefit comes in the first two exercises that they do. They do their chest. I guarantee the first exercise is a bench press or an incline press. And the second exercise is another press or maybe a heavy fly. Yeah. Every other exercise after that, bullshit. It's those first two that do most of the work. What do you think happens when you're working out your whole body 3 days a week? You start your leg workout with squats. Well, the next time you work out, you're not going to start with fucking leg extensions. You're fresh again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do front squats this time.
Right.
Oh, here comes the next workout for my leg. You know what I'm going to start with? I'm going to start with another variation of a squat or maybe a heavy walking leg. You're always doing effective exercises for those body parts.
And that's probably the biggest.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it. That's absolutely. And let's think of it this way too. When you're trying to build muscle, you're trying to build strength. You're not trying to build endurance. Endurance doesn't really build much muscle. Sprinting is as close, is something that's close to weight training if we were to compare running. Like long distance running endurance, sprinting would be like weight training, right? Imagine if I was sprinting just hard, nonstop, and I did all my sprints for the whole week in one fucking day. How many of those sprints would be focused on making me faster and how many would just turn into endurance?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Versus doing some sprints every day. It's the same fucking thing. It's exactly the same thing. So that's why, and you ask any strength coach, okay, and this is a very basic template we're giving you. If you want to get more specific and break it down into phases and add things like trigger sessions, whatever, we have an awesome program at our site, mindpumpmedia.com.
Shameless plug.
What breaks it all down for you. But you could just follow this basic template. Like I said, one exercise per body part, do anywhere between 3 to 5 sets per exercise. Do that every single time, 3 days a week. You're going to do absolutely fine. You ask any strength coach and they'll tell you right now that basic routine will work better than a split for probably 80 to 90% of the people that try it. Most of you that are listening will do better doing that.
Well, I'll tell you right now, unless you do something even close or similar to it, it will change your life if you're one, a beginner, or two, somebody who's been running a body part split for most of your life.
Oh,
if you've been running a body part split for most of your life, or two, you're a beginner, changing over to a full body split like that will change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Will literally change. Will change everything. I guarantee.
Oh, it'll blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, no,
it sounds
so
easy.
You'll walk around more energetic, ready to go into another workout.
And
that's like the point, I don't want to be hammered to where I'm like, oh, I'm so dreading this next workout.
That's the next piece of advice I have too on running a split like that is, here's where we start to learn how to listen to your body and adjust your intensity based off of that. this is something that I always try and install in my clients, and it takes time because they have to learn to feel this and learn to understand, listen to their body and listen to it. When I come into a workout and I've been well fed, I've been dialed on my diet, I've been well rested, I've got low stress levels going on and stuff, and I know some people are maybe not some people, maybe some people, but maybe not a lot of people. But I think about when I'm in the mood to lift, I'm thinking about my workout before I even get there. I can't wait to get to the gym. I'm excited to get to the gym because I feel loose already. I feel good. I don't feel sore anywhere. I'm excited to go get after it. Those are the days where I am going to get after it. And then a day where I feel achy, I feel sore, I got a lot of stress going on in my life right now, that's when I'm going to tone the intensity down. That's not when I go in there and bang the fuck out of myself and punish myself, which people feel like, oh, I felt so relieved from that. You know, it's just like it's a stress reliever. Yes, it is a stress reliever, but not when you approach it that way. You may think it is because you killed the fuck out of yourself and you feel like you accomplished something, but you really didn't accomplish as much as you think you did.
No, it's very important to adjust your intensity based upon your lifestyle. Very, very important. And going to failure is, for most people, not for everybody, but for most people, it's too much intensity most of the time. Most of the time, going to absolute failure on any working set for any muscle group is probably too much. And when you're going into the realm of too much, that means you're taking away from your body's ability to adapt. So think of too much as detriment, not just, oh, I overkilled, but it's okay because I did extra credit. Overkill means you're not going to progress as quickly.
And I would challenge somebody who sees, and I'm sure because if you're on social media, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, and you follow fitness icons, I challenge anybody to look into those people and actually see how many of those actually have real experience training hundreds of clients in addition to their
point.
Their education level in fitness, meaning kinesiology or somewhere on that
background. Great
point. You know, if you see these guys and girls that, I mean, they look badass and they train fucking insane and they talk about their clients that they coach or these people that do all their online program shit. Find out how long those people have been training one-on-one people in front of them, and I mean hundreds of them, because we didn't consider you a master trainer until you've put 5,000 hours into training clients. So once find out if they've had 5,000 hours minimum of standing in front of somebody else, different types of body types, taking them through programs, and if they train their clients the same fucking way they train themselves on Instagram.
That's a very important point, because here's the deal. When you look at someone that's super fit, super muscular, that's not trained lots of people, their understanding of exercise is based upon their experience with themselves. Right. And a lot, there's people out there, it's not the majority of people, it's the minority of people, but there's people out there who have just won the genetic lottery. Mm-hmm. They respond excellent to intensity. They recover
exactly
faster than most people. Their muscles look fantastic. They get away with crazy shit. They might even thrive on it. Yeah. And so their understanding is something completely different. So that when they're going to give you advice, it's based on the experience of them training themselves.
And let me tell you,
and
what
testosterone and HGH works.
Yeah, and then, well, of course that.
And even the ones that are all natural, because we got buddies that are all natural that look amazing too. But here's the thing. They don't even know that they're an anomaly. They think that the reason why they're at where they're at is because
they're hardcore. Pussy.
Because everybody else are a bunch of pussies. Yeah. They've learned to persevere through that mindset.
Yeah, like it's like a mental discipline.
Yeah, and unfortunately, everybody who listens and follows, they think the same thing too. And then they beat themselves up like, fuck, I just wish I could be like him.
Right.
Fuck, I wish I could.
I'm just sore all the time.
I wish I could get to his level, and I can't. You know, fuck, we would look that way if we could just persevere like that and push through like that. Yeah. And then in your head, you go the rest of your life thinking that if I want to look like a cover of a magazine, I've got to train that way. And you either, one, chase that dream your whole entire life, trying to pursue it in that direction, failing constantly or falling short all the time, or two, you say, fuck it. Well, I don't want that bad.
Well, it's like it's the detriment to like somebody deconditioned or overweight, like coming into this whole experience. It's like, you know, do you want them to like hammer themselves and go through this process like where they feel like it's unachievable?
Yeah,
that's such a stupid thing to do.
Well,
why would I promote that?
Even people who aren't like that, like just the average person. Look, Doug, the producer, when he hired me, he was not obese and had health problems. He was actually much better than the average person his age. He came in. He said, "I'm a hard gainer, Sal. I just don't build muscle easily. Mm-hmm. I've been lifting weights for years." This is the same guy now that, you know, pulled 405 pounds at, I don't know how much you weighed at the time, 160 something pounds. 154 pounds. The guy looks phenomenal now. And all we did was we switched him from splits to more of these full body routines. I'll tell you something right now. Every single person that I know that has switched, almost every person, there's only one person I know that went back to a split. And I'm just being honest. And but I'm talking about a lot of people switch from a split to full body. They gain minimum. The guys will gain minimum 5 to 8 pounds of muscle by just from doing that. Solid muscle. The women, 2 to 4 pounds of muscle. That's what I've seen. That's what people can expect. My cousin Gabriel, same thing. And that guy's got relatively good genetics. He's pretty muscular on a body part split. Switched over, 6 pounds of muscle just came on him, like instantly. He couldn't believe it.
Right on his quads.
Right. Yeah, exactly. you know, and he built that muscle. So it's, I implore, if you're listening, try it. You will be fucking blown away. Most of you will progress much faster on that type of, that basic type of routine. Your hormones respond on a better level. You know, when they examine exercises and they look at the
Glad you brought this up.
The positive hormone responses to exercises, because weight training has positive hormone responses, in particular things like testosterone and growth hormone. Some exercises are king and others are second fiddle. Mm-hmm. And the kings of
distant
exercises.
Distant second, too. Point that out.
Distant. Like, the ones that spike testosterone are your squats.
Yeah.
Your barbell deadlift.
Heavy loaded.
Your heavy cleans, your overhead press, yeah, your bench press, right? Well, guess what you end up doing more of when you do a full body type of split versus a body part split? You get to do those testosterone boosting, growth hormone boosting exercises more frequently versus doing them in the beginning of a workout, and the rest of the workout's a bunch of bullshit, and then you end up squirting out a bunch of cortisol at the end because you're training like an endurance athlete.
It reminds me of what Lane Norton's famous for saying, if you're not squatting, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you should be on this mission to either, if you think that you're somebody that one-off who can't, you're probably not that one-off who can. You just haven't got to a place where you've fixed whatever is going on with your body. Everybody, if you can walk around, you should be able to squat. Mm-hmm. And you may have limitations to that.
If you're sitting on the toilet, you can squat.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
No, it's true. It's true. And the key is to get to the point where you can do that comfortably. And you might have a different starting point than a lot of people. You might have things we need to address. Yeah. But at one point, it's the golden. It is everything when it comes to weight training and all the benefits. Like you talk about from a hormonal standpoint and from gains and results and fat burning and muscle building. I mean, it takes the cake on everything. A lot of those movements that you just listed are all these type of movements. If you can't do them, you got to learn how to do them. And if you're having a hard time because you think you've had this surgery or this injury or whatever, then you need to learn how to rehab and fix that to get to the point. Otherwise,
that should be your goal.
That becomes a priority more than having great biceps. You know, if you had some surgery and you know, like L4 and L5, something happened, and we have, you know, somebody has a compressed disc, or we have some issue that's super common that you know, I hear a lot. Oh, I've had this surgery, so no, I can't squat anymore. Like, no, it's not that you can't squat anymore at all. It's just you've had something happen in the past to you that we definitely need to be careful about how we do things, and we need to look on how your body moves now. And when we go into a squat, what do I notice? And then, you know, spend the time, spend the money, invest in somebody to help you and get you to that point. Because if you're not squatting, you're not deadlifting, you're not doing overhead press, you're not doing these movements because of an injury, all you're doing is you're slowly killing your body. Yeah. You're just slowly.
Your goal should be to get to those exercises. And that's actually my goal when I get a client. Every time I get a new client, I do an assessment. And I'll be honest, sometimes we never get to the barbell squat. You know, but I'm talking about some of my elderly clients or some people will have, you know, severe limitations. But the goal is, my goal is to get every single person to eventually be able to do a proper barbell squat, a proper barbell deadlift, to be able to do a good, strict overhead press, to be able to do something like a push-up, because those are very fundamental movements in the body and they're so effective. And I know we work our way up to the barbell squat, but once we get to the barbell squat and then we can do it right, here comes the progress every single time. As soon as we can start squatting, and sometimes it takes me months to correct the balances to get them there, then the gains start to come. Then the muscle and the fat loss and, you know, the functionality starts to come.
So I have a client right now that, you know, give a shout out to her, that I come and I see her at her house, and she has low back problems and she's had a full knee reconstruction just recently. So right now, I like, and every couple like month or two or stuff like that, I start to interject all these movements to see where we're at with them. And I, unfortunately, every day I'm not squatting with her. She can't even get all the way down to 90 degrees because she has hardly any flexion in her movement. So right now we spend a lot of time doing all these other exercises to build all her stabilizer muscles, to work on her flexibility. We do a lot of dynamic movements, a lot of stuff like this, so I can get to the point And the way I check is every month we come back, I kind of see the depth in her squat, how's her overhead press looking, how's her deadlift looking. And we always, we cycle back around and I bring them back in because I want to see our progress from all the other work I'm doing to get her there. But eventually, that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is for pain-free with great form to be able to move through all those. And I will get her there. And every time we get there, she's making progress, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I have a very similar situation. One of my clients, well, a couple of my clients, to be honest, I have a lot of like rehabilitative type clients, and it is our goal to be able to squat properly. I mean, that is a basic fundamental movement that we have to have, and to be able to have strength in that. And so, you know, yeah, there's times where we can't do that, 'cause like the knee pain and, you know, all these arthritises and all these things you're battling. However, you know, there's a range of motion that I can work with. And now what we're going to do from here is there's techniques that we're going to apply to help to build strength and get more depth.
Yeah, increase that range of
motion. Increase that range of motion. And also just like get this intrinsic, you know, force and generated to, you know, focus on that, like get that central nervous system response. So now, like, if I'm going to get to the depth where maybe this is what I have to work with, well, guess what? You're going to stay there, and you're going to stay there a while, and you're going to teach your body that you're supported. Now I'm supported in that depth. I'm going to come back up. And each time we're going to keep working. Just like a ladder, we're working our way down.
That's it. The goal should be to increase range of motion every single time.
I feel like I'm very passionate about this topic too, because I was this person, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I avoided squatting for a very, very long time because I would always come back to it, and I would do it, and fuck, it would kill my low back and it would bother my knees, and then I'd stay away from it for a long time. I'm seeing good results with my leg press and my lunges and my other movements that I felt good that I could perform. And then I'd come back drinking, then I had the same feeling. I literally never squatted over 185 all the way till my mid to late 20s. Literally, the moment I went over 185, my form would deviate, and then I would end up hurting myself. My low back would be bothering me, and I'd be like, I'm gonna stop. I can't do this. And I even started, even as a trainer and knowing better, would start to tell myself that I'll just do other movements. And, you know, and it was being around you guys that really, you know, made me go like, okay, I've got to figure this out. I got to find out what's wrong with me, fix it, whatever I need to do. And for me, a big part of it was my stance. For the longest time, I used to, you know, we were taught in our books, you look at like a squat. If you look at a squat, you know, 90%, you know, you might see some good stuff now, but 90% of any sort of book or anything you would find out there that would show squat, they would show somebody in like the anatomical position, which is their feet about shoulder width apart, toes completely neutral and straight, and then squat down. You know how many people I know that can fucking squat like that?
Yeah.
Like literally, yeah. I've had like maybe one client that, you know, that Asian guy. You know what I'm saying? Like he's got they're perfect. They had this perfect upright squat, just mm-hmm. naturally the way their hips are, you know, in relation to their stance would be perfect like that. Everybody else, I have to play with their stance based off of their hips. Their hips are all everyone's and their length of their femur, the length of their tibia. Everybody has different bone lengths, all of this. And when I finally started tweaking that and finding where my stance was, and that was like, okay, I'm going to not worry about weight. I'm going to come into the gym. I'm going to perfect this squat. And for me, perfecting the squat was no longer trying to look like the picture I saw, the book that I have, all the books I read, fucking all the certifications that I did growing as a trainer. But it was, how do I comfortably get down? I know I can sit all the way down on the ground, but I don't squat that way yet. I'm trying to squat differently, which was causing all the issues.
Yeah.
So then I worked on my stance. I worked on all that. And then I got to a position where this feels comfortable.
Well, for you me know what that is? You taking time addressing things in that lift. Not a lot of people do that. You know what I mean? The mentality for a workout is to get through the workout.
Yeah. Or if you're not good at it, go to the things you're good at.
Get through the workout. Add more load. Well, I can't. Oh, that means I should just, you know, take load off.
Well, we have to remember this, okay? You are the product of millions of years of evolution. The human body does a few things that it's made or evolved to be able to do a few things. Squatting is one of them. So is lifting things. So is gripping things with your hands. So is putting things above your head. So is throwing things and running.
And masturbating.
These are things that your body evolved doing, and you should be able to do them. And if you can't, then the capacity and the potential is there to be able to do them. And if you're not doing them, you're missing out on some of the most effective exercise. I'll tell you something right now. The other thing about body part splits that gets on my nerves is that people have arm days. What the fuck are you doing on an arm day? You're doing 15 sets for your biceps, and it's all isolation movement. Do you want to know something? Explode. I'm going to tell you something right now. Like, the dude that could do a pull-up with 200 pounds strapped around his waist is going to have bigger biceps than the guy that can curl fucking all day long with barbells.
I'll be the first to admit I was that guy, dude.
Yeah.
I was hitting, you know, because arms, bro. Everybody wants arms, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I tell
guns
you what,
and buns.
And you're saying buns. That, and you're probably, and the reason why I want to speak up right now, because I've got good arms, and I got them that way. But it was a long road, and along the way, I fucking everything else is imbalanced. You know what I'm saying? I got these great buys and tries that I had for years because I was doing 16 to 20 sets of all these isolation movements 2 to 3 times a week because I cared so much about it. While everything else was fine. Literally now, like, I have maybe lost a little bit of size on my arms because I don't care about it. They're overdeveloped compared to the rest of my body. And for me, it was symmetry.
And it all stems back from that girl that told you, like, your arms were right. Just that skinny, was what right? Was lacking.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course.
That bitch.
Of course. Oh, she set
but
you
the,
up.
The crazy part is now, like, I touch them whenever I'm bored. Like, to me, like, an arm day now, if I go in and do it, that's like our trigger day or a day where I'm just like, well, I feel good.
Well, think about it this way. You hit your arms every time you row, every time you press, every time you pull or push. Right. I had a paradigm shift a long fucking time ago when it came to arms because I had a gymnast come in to my gym, and there was this dude that comes in, and he had the biggest fucking biceps I've ever seen. Like, the dude, and if you look at gymnasts, by the way, they all have ridiculous biceps. Every single gymnast.
Especially if they do rings.
That's what holy I'm saying. I'm talking about male gymnasts because they do that, right? Massive biceps, every single one of them. Ask a gymnast how many curls they do. Yeah. Never.
Zero.
Zero ever. Curls. They don't do a single fucking curl.
No, thank you.
And I know a million guys in the gym that do curls all day long that have shitty looking arms.
Yep.
And then it dawned on me, like I should just get really strong at pulling shit.
They're
like
just
pull ups
pulling
and rows.
All the time.
Yeah, and my arms will get massive. And sure enough, That's what worked. That's what did it for me. And I don't wear wrist straps, by the way. I don't wear wrist straps either. Wrist straps take the weight out of your hand.
I can do 250 with wrist straps.
Well, you can't do it then. In reality, you can't lift it.
Well, when you think about it, it just makes sense that you know, you work on the primary movers. The secondary movers will naturally develop right with them.
Of course they will.
That's it.
You know, they have to because they're
in relation.
Exactly. Yeah, and they will move in that relation. The bigger your back gets, the bigger your biceps get. If you're doing everything correctly.
Well, it's
exactly what you're saying is you're creating an imbalance immediately by using it.
Right
strap.
Away. You're using these little muscles and not using the big ones that are supposed to work with it. Yeah. But here's the deal. I could say this to pretty much anybody, and they'll agree with me. I could say squats build more your quads bigger than leg extensions. Now everybody accepts it. Nobody would argue that. They'd be stupid if they did, right? How come nobody accepts the fact that a pull-up or a row builds the biceps more than a barbell curl? If I say that, people will look at me like I'm crazy. Like, no, that's not true.
Yeah, you can focus more.
You do realize the bicep is the fucking quad. It's almost like the hamstring of the upper body. It is the hamstring of the upper body.
It is exactly what
right?
it is.
And the tricep is the quad.
Yep.
Yeah. You'll build those bigger with compound movements, just like your hams and quads will build more with a squat.
Well,
it's the same
about
fucking
compound
thing.
Like that's the other point to like split routines. It irritates me. It's because you're creating imbalances. You know, I'm so focused on this area and I'm just focused on it this one time. I'm not using my upper body on the lower body days. So now I'm creating a disconnect between the two.
From a functional level?
From
that's
a functional
absolutely
level.
Absolutely.
My movement
true.
Is going to go to shit.
Absolutely true. Imagine if you learned how to ride a bike in always either pedaling or steering, but never doing both together.
Yeah.
And then someone puts you on a
exactly.
And then
dude.
Someone puts you on a bike.
That's a hell of a funny
analogy. It's so silly.
It's
true.
A great analogy
it's
right
true.
There. Oh shit! Both of them go.
I can't do both.
Wait. I'm good at this, but no. Yeah.
You'd be trying to pedal the steering wheel.
This is right. This is why bodybuilding. Although it makes
you
stronger.
You gotta make a meme like that, bro. You gotta make a meme.
And bodybuilding makes you stronger, so more strength is always better in sports. But this is why bodybuilding it's such a bad way to train an athlete unless you compare it to nothing. But if you compare bodybuilding to more functional type exercise, it gets his ass kicked all day long. And I know a lot of fucking bodybuilders that are the most dysfunctional fucking people. And I don't mean in terms of their personal lives. I'm talking about in the way they move. And you can just see them in the gym, man.
It's terrible.
I'm in the gym working out and I see these big pumped up guys, you know, probably a lot of them on anabolics. And I see them go from one machine to the other. And I'm looking at them like, I bet you he has trouble putting his shoes on.
Yeah.
And that guy can't wipe his ass. And that's That guy right there, if he threw a single punch, would destroy his shoulder.
And I bet he couldn't.
Yeah. His grip, he can barely even like stay upright because he needs a belt.
Dude, the best indicator is you take someone like that and you do a standing overhead press.
Oh,
standing overhead press to me will
snap him in half.
Will show everything. Yeah. A guy that big, that strong, and all everything that massive should be able to overpress 225 overhead. Watch him struggle with 135 mm-hmm. if he can even get 135.
Oh, it hurts his lower back. He arches. It looks more like an incline.
In the range
press.
Of motion will be like
right,
little flexion.
Right. So I guess the moral of the story is if you want to build muscle and make your workouts as effective as possible, take your body part split, crumple up a piece of paper, write it down on it, crumple it up,
light
shove
it up and smoke it.
Yeah. Light it up and smoke it or shove it up a bodybuilder's
and
ass.
And then piss on it.
And do a full body routine, very basic. Do your compound movements. Start with the large body parts like legs. Move through the large body parts down to the small body parts. Do one exercise per body part. Try it out. See what happens.
Change your life, guaranteed.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. By the way, you can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam. And you can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
See ya.
It's easy.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.